Amen. Well, today's reflection begins with a straw. It was the proverbial straw that broke this camel's back. It was a post by a very dear friend, someone I know who has a very big heart, talking about how straws and plastic have proliferated in our world and we need to get rid of drinking straws. And the rage inside of me was palpable. And you might think that's a little weird, but it came after a few weeks of frustration with different people in my life and different situations trying to tell me how it was to be the parent of a child with disabilities, with mobility issues, and so I responded back to this friend and said, for people who have a choice, not using a straw is a positive action. For people who don't have a choice, whose the use of a straw helps them live in the public sphere, making them less accessible and shaming people for their use, is hurtful and makes me sad. And she said, oops, sorry. But we do that all the time. We do that with any kind of tools. We think about the world from our perspective, and we don't ever think about how the world works for other people who aren't like us. I have learned so much in the last 18 years of being a parent of a child whose physical capabilities diminish year after year after year. He used to be able to ride a bike. He used to be able to swim. He used to be able to run. And then the muscles deteriorated and he couldn't do those things anymore. To watch a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old or a 12-year-old lose that ability is heartbreaking. But Wesley mentioned that he did a triathlon. I can say that my son has also done triathlons. I wasn't thinking about that, but he has. With a group called My Team Triumph, he has participated in marathons, half marathons, even a half Ironman in his wheelchair with a team of angels surrounding him. He has learned. He has experienced the joy of crossing that finish line with everyone else. But it's so easy to stay in our own little bubble and to look at the world through our eyes. And good-natured people like you and like me get off on these rants, well-intentioned, to say that using a cell phone and tablets and our kids are missing out on the opportunity to reach out and have real interactions. But I know people for whom that technology is a lifesaver that opens up the world. We talk about even things like firearms, right? And we want to shame people for owning them and having them, and we'd say that we need to ask people whether or not they have guns in their homes. before we let our kids come and play. And I will tell you, there are people that I know who have guns in their homes, and I am perfectly happy to let my children come and play because I know who those people are, and I know the care with which they treat the tools. And there are people for whom I would never want them to have a gun, let alone think about my child with them in that. It has more to do with our own sense of responsibility and connectedness to one another than it does about any particular tool that we're talking about. It's good manners to put your phone away when you're sitting and dining with people. It is good manners to not throw your trash on the ground. We've lost a great deal of our connectedness and feeling that we are in it together. We shame people for the way they look. We shame people for getting old. But what's the alternative? Really? I remember we were dropping our daughter off her freshman year of college. We were standing in line with all of the parents and having dinner, and my daughter says to me, "Mom, when are you going to dye your hair?" I'm like, "Dude, I love these gray hairs. Hello?" Every one of them tells a story. I'll never dye my hair. But we have that feeling, don't we, that we have to be young. I saw an ad yesterday from, I don't know, JCPenney maybe, that was like, "You can wear the same style trends as your daughter." And I'm like, yo, don't wanna. It would not be a good look for either one of us. But we have these stereotypes that getting old is somehow a negative. It's a lesser us. It makes us invisible to this world that worships youth. We shame people for who they are. And we shame people so that they don't feel comfortable in our public spaces anymore. Even in the church, we do that. How often do you see someone standing up here that has a disability? How often do you see someone up here leading worship that is different? As part of my polity class, we were exploring all of the resolutions from General Synod, and one of them was on disability rights. And of course it passed with like 98% whatever. And I read through this resolution and I was appalled. Because while I think it was well-intentioned and meant to open up the question of disability rights beyond, does your worship space have an elevator? Do you have hearing assist? It muddied the waters such that it didn't really understand the lives of people that struggle every day to be heard. It called on the church to ordain more people into ministry that have disabilities. And I want to know how many times you've seen somebody in a wheelchair give a sermon. I really wanted my son to be here today because he was going to help me. But he didn't come. But he's done it before. And I think it says as much about his participation as it does for you all, just like his participation in a triathlon, that he is welcome in that space, that he is capable of being included. That's really all any of us want, right? To be included. To feel like we belong. Now, Jesus's the story I read from the gospel this morning about Jesus walking on water, I think very often we focus on the character of Jesus and we focus on that. But to me, as I thought about my weeks and the straw and what happened in the last 2 days in Virginia, it's more about the boat. The security of our boat, the security of our bubble, the security of just being with people who are like us, the security of not having to think about what's outside the boat, the hard stuff that Jesus asks us to do, to step out of our comfort zones, to step out and look at the world from a different vantage point, to step out and look at the world through someone else's eyes, is hard stuff. And I see that rage. And I see those of us who disagree with them as wanting to shame them for what they believe. I don't agree with what they believe. I think it is a sin. Racism is a sin. We have to name it. Ageism is a sin. We have to name it. Ableism is a sin. We have to name it. But our sins and their sins are no different. They're all sins. They all keep us from seeing one another as children of God. They all keep us from seeing God in someone who's different than us. We're part of that, too. Reflecting on what was happening these last 2 days, I thought, well, I know there are going to be those that say if the election went the other way, this wouldn't happen. But in my mind, it just would have happened 8 months sooner. The Women's March, the Science March, wouldn't have been of groups of women and groups of scientists. It would have been groups of alt-right people. The rage was already there. The feeling of separation was already there. The hatred was already there. And if it had gone the other way, it would have still happened. It just would have happened 8 months sooner. What's interesting to me when I was reading the passage this week is that no one else in the boat offered to help when Peter was going down. Peter cries out, "Lord, help me!" And it's Jesus that reaches out his hand and pulls him up. But it is words of, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" I heard those words not just directed at Peter, directed to all the people in the boat. Why didn't you reach out a hand? Why didn't you step out of the boat and help? You knew that I could help Peter walk on water. Why didn't you trust that I would help you? So that's where we are today, in a place where it's the same Lord who looks upon all of us. And yet we find an infinite number of ways to make the other person someone else, something less. Lots of prayers yesterday and Friday, "Lord, help us." But Jesus' hands are ours. Jesus' heart is our own. We need to get out of the boat. Our world is drowning. We'll sit in silence for a couple minutes, thinking about that which God is asking us to do, the ways in which we are being called out of our boats. Amen.